This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management. Guardian Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the June 5th, 2025 edition of Guardian Radio AM. You turn the Bach music off quick. man, I hope you all are having a wonderful, wonderful day. It's a holiday weekend coming up. We got, Labor Day tomorrow, and Aaron and I were having some conversation off air, and I know we'll dive into some of that next week. But today we have a very special guest on this show, Guardian AM, Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. You know, we take time to talk about things that ultimately pertain to all of the political conversations, the social conversations that we have every day. There is a religious component to all of it. And so my name, for those who may not know, is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III, also known as Kahun Ankusa Ra, and I'm sitting in for C.A. Nuri today. We're going to get to the phone lines and everything once we give our guests an opportunity to share for a bit. So I'll give those numbers out once the phone lines open up. But today's guest is somebody who really takes the time to study not just scripture, but typography, social issues, life in general, reality, right? This guest, you've heard him here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM before, and today we're going to be talking or asking the question, what does it mean to look at scripture with African eyes? So I want to introduce today our special guest, Rev. Dr. A.J. Varma. My brother, are you there? Can you hear us?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. How are you doing today?
Man, I'm good. I'm good. It's so good to hear your voice. We down here, baking in the sun. I don't know exactly where you are in the world right now.
I'm enjoying it. It's warm here, too. Thank goodness.
Okay, exactly.
Every day.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. We've broached on this type of conversation before, but I want to dive right into it. We only got an hour. We have a lot of things going on, not just in the country, but and oftentimes the scriptural component is kind of left out or is not seen from our perspective. By our, I mean African people, Nubian Melanites, Black people, if you want to call us, Latinos, Caribbeans, etc. And so I thought this was an important conversation to have today. So let's jump right into it. What does it mean? Because we always talk about in the Holy Coptic Church about looking at scripture with African eyes. What is this idea of looking at scripture with African eyes?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you, Kahun Ankusa Ra, for having this subject, bringing it on this morning. Mm-hmm. When we speak about looking at this, it's in one word or in one phrase, it means that Africa matters. Mm. We always talk about Black Lives Matter, right? Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. Yeah. But it only matters when someone's been killed and we say it matters. But Black intelligence matters. Black scholarship matters. Mm-hmm. African intelligence, African scholarship, African investigative skills, African sciences, African technology. When I say African, I don't mean just the continent of Africa, but wherever African people may dwell in people. Mm-hmm. Now, what do I mean by that? When we look at scriptures, right, the Bible, mm-hmm. and the Quran for that matter, for those who may be Muslim, mm-hmm. I travel around the world. I've been blessed to be able to travel to many continents, or many, most of the continents. I'm not going to Antarctica or any of that anytime soon. But just going to leave that one off the table. But when you go there, everywhere we go, we have Bibles translated into the language of the population. We have Greek Bibles. We have Latin Bibles. We have English Bibles, Greek Orthodox, Latin, Roman Orthodox or Catholic, Anglican, England. We have the Portuguese Bible. We have the French Bible used in many African nations. Portuguese used in Angola, in Brazil, right? We have Bibles always coming from a Eurocentric perspective. And even, and I'm sure there's going to be people say, what about the Ethiopian Bible? Yes, we have the Ethiopian Bible. But when you look at all of these Bibles, including the Ethiopian Bible, they're all in agreement with the construct of the Roman and Greek perspective, the Greco-Roman perspective. They all say a similar story as to the interpretation and explanation and the viewpoint, the vantage point of the Greeks, the Romans, the Russians, the Anglo-Saxons of Europe. It's always their perspective. When we look at the Bible truly through African eyes, there's no way that the oldest group, African, Caribbean, indigenous people, there's no way that our view as the progenitors of these theologies, right? Because Jesus, Moses, Abraham, all hanging around in Kemet, right? Nubia. And I said it that way, and I didn't say Egypt first, because once I say Egypt, now I'm back to Greece, Egyptos, right? They're all down in Kemet. They're all down in Nile River Valley. They're down in Nubia. They're Niger Delta culture, which is the progenitors of the Nile River Valley. You know, when we say that the oldest university on the planet, and I'm not we, me saying it, this is what the scholars of Europe, oldest university on the planet, Timbuktu. Oldest manuscripts on the planet as of 2012, when they brought it forth, were the Malian manuscripts in Mali that were kept in people's homes, black people that looked like you and me, buried with their ancestors inside the homes. And these manuscripts are the oldest manuscripts to date. So we had the oldest manuscripts that, that scholars at Yeshiva University in Israel, the scholars at Oxford and Cambridge in the UK, the scholars out in California at Berkeley, now agree that the oldest manuscripts or papyruses or writings or records to date on earth are the Malian manuscripts or the Shabaka stone, et cetera. So we had the oldest manuscripts when it came to science, astronomy, biology, agriculture, architecture, medicine, all of these, Ebers Papyrus, Imhotep. So we got the oldest when it comes to everything else. But then when it comes to religion, all of a sudden, I'm not sure. We come on. So and it's normally having to say this to a black person. Black people struggle with it. The scholars don't. The white scholars are like, yeah, that's true. The Arab scholars, yeah, that's true. So if we had all this old knowledge when it came to everything else, oldest university, Timbuktu, oldest university in Carthage, Tunisia, Hippo, oldest university, Aksum, Ethiopia, ancient Ethiopia, all of this in Nubia, the oldest societies, right? Nok Empire, Ghana, all of these are old societies with records that the British, Portuguese, Spanish, French, Americans, right? All said we got there and these people were highly advanced, had this knowledge, and of course, war, disease, and destruction was rained upon them, and things went bad after encountering. So when it comes to scripture, we have to have an oldest perception. And that perception would include, because anytime you translate a book from a language into another language, it's not to make it clear for the people who already had the book. I'm going to say this again, right? If I got the book,
That's a good point.
Being held by Kahun Anku Sara, this is his book. I come on a ship, hey, land ho, and I get off the ship and I meet you, and you got this book tucked under your arm. Can I see the book? You say, yeah, yeah, yeah. Or I knock you upside the head and I take the book. All right, so now you, I got the book that you had. You had the book. That means you were able to read the book. That means you understood the book. You understood the book, you read the book, and you comprehended the book from where you stood and what it meant to you and your people who had had this book for thousands of years. We got that. Now I don't hit you upside the head. And I take the book and I rewrite the book in my language. Break you up, kidnap, subjugate, infiltrate, enslave, lie to, miseducate, force your children, the Native Relocation Acts, forcing Native Indigenous children in Africa, in Canada, in America, in South America, in the Asian Pacific, forcing Native children to be to go to the schools, whether the French or the English or the Italians or the Russians set up, the Germans even.
Mm-hmm.
And now I teach this information back to your children without you being there, because I've taken them to boarding school. They're never going to see you again. This has happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now these children who indigenously had these stories in them, genetically passed down mother to daughter, father to son, for generations, are suddenly being introduced to a new version of the story. If they're British Empire's influence, they're getting the King James version. Mm-hmm. If they're under the Italian or Romans influence, they're getting the Latin Vulgate version. If they're under the Macedonian influence, they're getting the Greek Septuagint version. Mm-hmm. If they're under the Russian, they're getting the Rus version. If they're under the Gaelic or French Teutonic people, they're getting the French version. And when you give someone else your version, it is not to help them, because if I wanted to help you, I wouldn't hit you upside the head, take the book
in the first place,
translate it in the first place, and then miseducate you. No, I'm giving you my version so that I can insert me into the story.
So, Dr. Varma, we're,
yes, sir.
So we as African people, because you know we were taught for so long, and many people have the perception that we were just savages. We didn't have, and I know you really set the table by explaining how scholars understand that we have the oldest manuscripts, we have the oldest universities, we understood knowledge on many different areas. But like you said, because we have been given this version of everything that is education, that everything that is this religion, etc., many of us don't realize that we had, and I guess I'm asking the question now so you can clarify, we as Africans, we had a Bible before these Europeans, before these invaders came in amongst us? We actually had a Bible?
Well, let's make it even simpler. Mm-hmm. We Africans had the tool upon which the Bible could even be written.
Come on.
See, when you say Bible, you're saying Biblos. When I look up the Greek word for Biblos, it says papyrus.
Mm.
I don't know if everybody knows this, but the papyrus reed does not grow in England.
Mm.
It does not grow. The Nile water lily, the Niger Delta water lily, the South American water lily, the southern portions of the United States that grows the water lily that the frogs be sitting on. Yeah, that thing. Mm. It doesn't grow in Europe. It doesn't grow in England. It doesn't grow in Scotland. It doesn't grow in Wales. It doesn't grow in Russia. It doesn't grow in Portugal. It doesn't grow in Spain. It doesn't grow in Italy. It doesn't grow in Germany. It doesn't grow in Czechoslovakia or Poland, for that matter, or the Schengen nations, Sweden, Holland, Norway. It doesn't grow there.
Mm-hmm.
So the very manuscripts, when you see the ancient Israelites holding these massive Torah scrolls, there is no Torah scroll without the papyrus to write upon.
Mm-hmm.
There is no Torah scroll without the stylus to write with.
Mm-hmm.
There is no Torah scroll without the stone styluses to carve with. There is no blowing of the ram's horn, the horn that the Jewish people blow today, the great Jewish people of the state of Israel. When they blow the shofar or shofar, the ram's horn, that ram is from the Nubian ram of Africa. The horn comes from an actual animal that comes from Nigeria and comes from the goats and comes from the rams of Nubia.
Mm-hmm.
In Africa. So that we would, what would you blow? If you got to blow the ram's horn and you don't got the African ram, what you blowing?
Mm.
You rolling up a piece of paper. And I'm saying it not to be comical, but it is comical yet sad.
Yeah.
Right? We didn't just have the scripture. We had the technology to make the scripture possible. Because according to them, the Gutenberg press didn't come for another 1600 years.
Mm-hmm.
According to them, the Oxford and Cambridge, they weren't born yet.
Mm. Mm.
The European languages of the what they call Indo-European families hadn't been born because the European language is a group that's Indo-European, and that means they come out of Sanskrit. So the Sanskrit or Indian culture would have to have been Indo-European, Indian language or Sanskrit being spoken by European tongue. That wouldn't even happen yet. And the Sanskrit writers would not have been born yet because Sanskrit comes out of the ancient Tamashek language when the Aryans of Europe, the first Nordic branch of Aryan groups, invade India and they encounter an African civilization called the Hadapan civilization of the Indus River Valley with a pharaoh called Ganges, an Ethiopian pharaoh, look it up, called Ganges. The Indian scholars teach this. Mm-hmm. And this, so they wouldn't have gotten the writing materials yet. Oh, we learned from the Chinese. Well, the ancient Chinese called the Ainu, A-I-N-U, right in Black Ainu of China. They are, because remember, at one point, there's only black people on the planet. Mm. That's not me. That's just Bones of Lucy, Kenyan women, Arthur and Pithecine, Kenyan Pithecine, the archaeologists talk about. Mm-hmm. So these African people were the ones to introduce writing. Mm. You can't say the Shubaka stone is the oldest stone, a pillar that was made by a pharaoh called Shubaka, who saw worn papyruses that were 25,000 years old and told them to rewrite them so they wouldn't be destroyed. I go to the British Museum in England and they say Shubaka's stone is the oldest cosmological record on earth. I go to Mali and they say, the Europeans say that the Malian manuscripts, oldest papyruses on earth. So we not only had the scriptures, we had the technology to make the script searchable. Mm. Mm. Without the technology, you can't, you know, what's the old saying? We put the cart before the horse.
Yeah.
The cart is the scripture. Mm. The horse is the technology to inscribe the picture. Mm-hmm. The writer is the mind necessary to come up with the idea of creating the technology to inscribe what's in the mind. And that's Africa.
Yes.
So there is no Bible without it. If not, why does Moses go to Africa? Why does he go to Egypt? Mm-hmm. Why is Abraham in Egypt? Mm-hmm. They left Ur of Chaldees. Why did they didn't get scripture there? Why did they have to leave Ur of Chaldees and go down to Kemet? Why did they have to go? Why does Jesus, as a baby, his life's in danger? Mary, take the child to Poland. No, not Poland. No. Go to Russia. No. Oh, it's too cold. He won't like it there. Go down to Egypt. Why is everybody going down to the Nile River Valley? That was the breadbasket of the world. When everybody was in famine, go to Egypt. Mm-hmm. When everybody was confused, go to Egypt. The Bible says in Acts 7, verses 1 through 11, that Moses was wax wise in all the wisdom of Egypt. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The wisdom is the wisdom books. Mm-hmm. We had wisdom books of Amenhotep, which becomes the proverb. So we had scripture possible.
Yes. Yes, yes.
You might argue with me about did we have scripture, but you can't argue with me that we had the technology. So we had this technology, but we didn't know how to use it.
Right.
And that's what the European conquistadors, that was the notion that they created. Africa had all this wealth, all this access, all these fruits and vegetables and gold and silver and diamonds and manifest destiny. We didn't know what to do with it. And they saw that we didn't know what we were doing. So they had to conquer us to teach us how to use it. And this notion is one thing. I understand why many a European would like to promote that. It makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. If you're the baby of the races and you advocate that, makes sense. But I'm trying to figure out how black people are eating it up.
Right.
Oh, I forgot, because they forced us into their native relocation camps and forced our children, which many of us, our parents or our grandparents or great-grandparents even, were forced to these native schools that were controlled by the Jesuits or certain other branches of Christianity and Catholicism, depending on which nation was conquering you. And they infused through beating. There's a whole documentary called The Bible and the Bullet, The Bible and the Gun.
Yeah, Bible and the Gun. Mm-hmm.
The Bible. Done by white folks. So, you know, before you come see them, right? Done by Europeans, where they admit this is what happened. And they show you the actual footage from the early 1900s, where they're showing native children being beaten. Anytime they spoke their language, they beat them. Anytime they spoke about their ancestral lineage and heritage, they beat them. And they beat it out of them. And this is where the concept of, oh, you better not say nothing about God. You're going to get struck. Of course. course, because they were getting struck.
Mm.
And if you struck my grandmother and my great-grandfather, and you struck them and you beat them whenever they spoke my language or spoke our scriptures or spoke that we had a knowledge, and you struck them, they would then pass that down, not just genetically, but physically through verbiage to their children, which became my parent. And then my mother and father would teach me that, and then I would teach my children. And now we're the most faithful people, but we lack the knowledge of self.
Yes. Yes, we got some texts.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes, I just want to make sure our texters and our callers have an opportunity. Wish we had more time, but today's the telephone numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, 3259, and of course, toll free 242-300-5720 in the Family of Islands. You can text us today at 422-4796. Of course, we are streaming live on guardiantalkradio.com, and we're also on channel 969 on Cable Bahamas and 612 on BTC Flow channel. Texter here says, good morning. I use the King James Bible, and in there I see the condemnation of Rome, which is described as a beast, the condemnation of Greece, which is a beast, they say the leopard, the condemnation of the Roman church, they say the harlot sitting on a seven-headed beast. So seeing Eurocentric in the scriptures is foreign to me. Okay, so he's agreeing with you. He's saying that he's seeing he himself is seeing through African eyes, but I want you to touch on that. He's saying he's seeing these things, and I guess he's been studying. I don't know exactly who this is, but I just want to kind of get your feedback on people who are reading the scriptures and kind of trying to weave on or themselves, and this conversation is kind of perking something up inside of them. What say you?
Well, I would say simply to the person who texted in, your eyes must become one. So you're beginning to see, mm-hmm. you're beginning to question, and that's where it all begins for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Everyone has to begin. You know, we black people will praise Malcolm X. Malcolm X, great man. He fought Martin Luther King. Well, these great men, these great thinkers, Elijah Muhammad, Marcus Garvey, A.B. Jacques Garvey, Francis Quest Wilson, these great minds, they started with a quest. The same thing. They said, but this don't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't say there was no creator. They knew that. We're indigenous people. We know creator.
Mm-hmm.
We know angels. We know ancestors. But something don't sit right.
Mm.
So they begin to question, and then and unlike many where you're just told believe and leave it alone,
mm-hmm.
they said no, I'm just gonna believe and leave it alone. I want to know.
Yeah.
So as the person who texts is saying, when you look at these and you see Rome and you see these things in there, then it's our responsibility to go further.
Mm-hmm.
To go further, to probe and to find out that language, the key is language and beginning. You live in a day and time, you have language apps, you have AI, you have all kinds of assistance. Language to uncover. I want to know if we're Africanized, then it should be interpreted from an African language,
yeah.
from the Hebrew or the Aramaic or the Bantu or the Afro-Asiatic, which Hebrew comes out of. I want to know what it say before. For the Greeks and the Macedonians, and which parts did they add in? Because if I'm seeing Greece and Rome, somebody's inserting that in.
Mm-hmm.
Who, when, where, why, how? The knowledge questions.
Yes,
who,
indeed.
When, who, what, when, where, why, how, and because. We have to answer those questions as it pertains to all of the stories. People say, I don't have time to do all of that. Have time to do all of that, because your soul and the lives of your children and future children, grandchildren, depends on it.
Yes,
when
indeed.
When you see Rome, when you see in the writings, then you know their fingerprints are there.
Yes.
It's like you go into a crime scene. Somebody has stolen some books. They've been plagiarizing and adding and taking away. So there's truth in the room, and there's some lies in the room, and there's some myths in the room. There's some falsehoods in the room. There's some realities in the room. There's irrealities in the room. But we got to go in there like an investigator with the, you know, the little duster. And we're looking for fingerprints. Okay, I got a Greek fingerprint over here. Let's see who that is. Oh, that's Macedonians. We need to know about the Macedonians. Over here, I got some Romans fingerprints. Okay, there was a Roman in the room. Okay, we need to check out his fingerprints. Yeah, he comes from the Vatican. Okay, we need to know more about them and see what they have. Look at the world from the other side. We true Christians, we that are Christians and Hebrews and Muslims, we always only look at the world from the side we're on. You know, we're like a man or a woman who's getting cheated on. And I know she's not cheating on me. She'd never cheat on me because I know she loves me. She cooked my sandwiches. She warms my bath. She would never cheat on me. He would never do that to me. My Quan would never. Like, girl, I just saw him with somebody. Right? So it's
call it we saw you. You can call right back. Yes, 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 yes.
It is denial. You can relate to that? You've been cheated on.
I've been cheated on by Sesh. I've been. I had that same comment. No, not me. Her. We got a caller on the line. Caller, welcome to Guardian Radio AM.
Exciting, exciting, exciting. Boy, this whitewashing thing. You know, the African perspective of things, if you were to look at a piece of scripture, where I think, for example, let's look at the Western interpretation where Jesus said that you're the salt of the earth, they say, meaning that salt is used for preserving and adding flavor to your food. However, in the African perspective, the Africans use salt to give it to the monkeys, make the monkeys thirsty. The monkeys would run and find water, and that's how the Africans were able to find water. And that's in the African interpretation of being the salt of the earth. All right. Now, most people don't know that. Most people don't even know that in
that's
African music,
the,
like if you go to Ibrahim Traore, they have do re mi fa so, ain't no la ti do.
So give Dr. Vam an opportunity to chime in. He's saying that's one of the interpretations.
That's one. See, the first thing is we can't make Africa monolithic. Africa is not monolithic in its thinking. We're not indigenous people of the Caribbean that forced every tribe to become us. If we were monolithic, then there would have been no Taino, there would have been no Arawak, there would have been no Incas. Each of these tribes had their own ways and were respected by other tribes in many instances. Africa is not a monolith. Africa is Bantu, yes, cluster of languages, but Africa is Iwe, it's Fanti, it's Fulani, it's Nubian, it's Tamashek, it's Afar, it's Effendi, it's Yoruba, it's Basa, it's Igbo, it's Mano, it's Kran, it's Gio. And each of these were allowed from where they stood to perceive nature and the universe.
Wow.
And found in all of them that we recognize a superior, a supreme from which we all come from.
That
saying, the salt of the earth, also refers in Africa as a phrase that means high value, high morals, because it was a commodity we used to salt our fish before, quote unquote, refrigeration. We would salt our fish, our meat to preserve. We still do it today in many parts of the continent. So this phrase, salt of the earth, like the gentleman is saying, it can be many interpretations, but Africa should be allowed to be included in the conversation, especially since Christ was raised with us for at least 13 years.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for calling in, caller. I got a text here. Why do we always have to bring Africa into this? There is only one God, one Jesus, who saves us. We are all worshiping one God.
Well, very simple. It's not we didn't bring Africa into this. Somebody sent their son to us.
Okay.
If there was only one God, then that son could have stayed where he was. The people who wanted to kill Jesus, Herod said to the wise men, go bring the child that I may worship him. And his plan was not to worship him. So this idea that there's only one God, the God that Herod was worshiping, that Caesar was worshiping, that the Macedonians and the Hellenists and the Romans, that is not the same God, because that God wanted to kill Christ. I don't think we're grasping that. And when that baby and his mother and his father, stepfather Joseph, were in danger, if everyone had the same God and this whole kumbaya and we all get along, why did you? We didn't come messing with the religion. We didn't come messing. I'm saying it that way, right? We Africans didn't go looking. We were sought out. Someone came to us to be reared with us. Same thing. Abraham was in Ur of Chaldees. Abraham gets called out of Ur of Chaldees to a promised land. He gets to that promised land, which today is the state of Israel or Palestine, Israeli region. He arrives there and there's famine there. We in the Nile River were not having famine. We didn't come to Abraham looking for food. We didn't come to Abraham looking for water. We didn't come to Abraham looking for technology. Abraham, as an African, returned home and married amongst us.
That's right.
We didn't go looking for Jacob. We didn't go looking for Joseph. We didn't go looking for Isaac and Joseph and the tribes. They came to us. And no, you know, it's very a weird situation that your house guest comes to you pleading for help and then writes you off once you help them. These patriarchs, which were African people returning home, but for the people who say, why do we have to? I'm speaking it from that perspective. If you want to know why, we didn't, if you want to say it's all one, well, no, it's not all one. The way the Greeks saw God, they saw Zeus. The Norsemen saw God, they saw Odin. And these depictions of Odin and Zeus and Jupiter and Demeter and all of them, they didn't look like us and they massacred us. So while we're being the, you're my house guest, I'm looking out for you. You're coming in with your conquistadors and your pilgrims, and you're massacring us and then saying, why do we have to say Africa? Mm. No, why should we not? Because there is a clear distinction between the God of the Romans who wanted to kill Christ and the God of the Hebrews who down in Egypt, according to Isaiah 19:21, the stay of the tribes who wanted to protect Christ. One group of people's protecting him, one group of people want to kill him. Mm. Today, 2025, one group of people are massacring the world's population and one group of people is trying to figure out how to save the world's population. That is not the same God. In fact, the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, says there's not one God. It says the God of this world is Satan.
Oh, wow.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, God of this world is Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, says that they will give you another Jesus, another spirit, and another doctrine. Mm. So the doctrine of Christ is not the same. The spirit that Christ spoke about is not the same. And the God of Christ is not the same, according to 2 Corinthians 11:4. And again, that's 2 Corinthians 11:4, another God, another Jesus, and excuse me, another Jesus, another doctrine, and another spirit. And 2 Corinthians 4:4, that says the God of this world is Satan. So if Satan is the God of this world, and 1 John 4 says, beloved, verse 1, believe not every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether it is of God or not. So we're testing the spirit to see if it's of God or not, because there's going many false prophets out into the world. So if all these false prophets are into the world and Satan is the God of this world, giving these false prophets the power, then we got to first disseminate and dissect and determine and discern who's a false prophet and who's a true prophet.
We can't
do that if we believe it's all one and the same. Amen. I pray what I'm saying makes sense.
Very
good. For those who follow Bible, if you follow scripture, you're going to rock with what I just said.
Yes.
If you follow your opinion, well, I ain't got nothing for you.
Right.
I ain't got nothing for you.
Caller, welcome to Guardian Radio AM.
Yeah, good morning, Anku, and good morning to your guests.
Good morning, my brother, 52.
Yeah, blessed. You know, Anku, can we forgive the text who said, why is Africa always the center of the conversation? I don't know if it's verbatim, but I'm just saying, could we forgive them?
Well, we could answer them. That's what we did.
Yeah, but I have a question for the learned gentleman. And I don't agree with everything what he's saying, but I need some help here because I had a cursory look at the book of Adam and Eve, right?
Mm.
And what intrigued me was Adam, which we know it means male and female, but, you know, through the lexicology, I'm not too equipped to really comment on that right now. But what I'm saying is through the lexicology, it would be male and female. But, you know, Adam longed to go back, and he sent Eve to the garden for some type of bush or medicine, and he longed to go back to the garden. I don't know if you remember that portion.
This is a book that you read? What's the name of the book?
The book called The Book of Adam and Eve.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I just had a quick look at it, but I want to just let the doctor in there clear this up for me, because, and you would notice too, Uncle, because of the word history, right, or lexicology, right? The word bonash in Hebrew, and the word amal in Hebrew, but when they translated to the Greek text, the word Amal became a virgin. But in Hebrew or Aramaic, it simply means a woman of marital age. And then the word Barnash is simply saying a dude or a man.
Mm.
And so, could you correct this thing about Jesus saying his mom is made for the Sabbath or the Sabbath made for man? Just clear it up.
So which question do you want him to answer first? You want him to answer the Sabbath one first?
Yeah, but just clear up the question about the Amal with the virginity the virgin birth and the misconception, because it is said that because the Sabbath was approaching, they buried him temporarily, and then they took him out of the tomb and then gave him the final burial. These are customs that have led to misinterpretation of the Bible for decades, for centuries. Just clear it up for these Negroes, please. Give thanks.
Okay, I'll see if Dr. Varma.
Okay, well, I'm gonna start from the beginning. Mm-hmm. The gentleman spoke about the book of Adam. It's called the Book of Caves of Treasures. Mm-hmm. That's the name of the book, right? You can actually go online and look it up. It's called the Book of Caves and Treasures, or Caves of Treasures. And in that writing, translated, it uses the term Adam, and it says Adam is in the Bible in Genesis, male and female created he them and called their name Adam. But the word Adam means life, the Hebrew word for blood, damn, bloodline. So this is a particular bloodline, a certain made in image and likeness, according to Genesis 1:26. And that this male and female created he them, that these were tribes of people, not an individual. And that would speak to the fact that if there was one man and that one man gave birth out of his rib to one woman, then they would have the same blood type. That's why the Adam, the blood is important, because in the blood, Genesis chapter 11, there is life, and the life is the spirit of man. So the bloodline would tell us that there had to be more than one Adam. There had to have been Adams of the different races of people. The first Adam, the African Adam, were groups of men and women who were told to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, according to Genesis 1, 26, 27, and 28. They were to be fruitful and multiply. You would know you're naked. You can't copulate with your clothes on, right? You can't go all the way to where impregnation takes place through the jeans and the skirt. So they would have known about clothing and et cetera, et cetera. And that's the African theology that comes out of what's called the Menphite theology, or the doctrine of Ptah at Hetkat Ptah, the Shubaka papyrus or Shubaka stone. The gentleman then jumped a little bit into the Bible of the New Testament and said, Jesus said, you are the phrase about, you know, about the mother or the woman, and the word they use in the Arabic, they use the word dakala, to enter into something. Then they use the word, he said, amar. There's amar, A-M-A-R, from the word amir or umr, which means family, umi, umr. Umar, Umar, mm-hmm. that these females had a genealogy. This goes back to Genesis. Back in Genesis, it tells us what? That a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife. So at that time, males in Genesis 1, the same passage, 1:26 going down, the males would leave their tribe and marry into the female's tribe. This was a Nazarite marrying into the Genesis or Genesis. Then another word that was used is the word amal, which would be in English, A-M-A-L, amal. And it means to make, or from the word amal, another word is used there in the Hebrew is to fashion, masawara, sawara, S-A-W-A-R-A, S-A-W-A-R-A, if you wrote it out in English, sawara. It means to fashion. Talks about in the book of Job, the great fashioner, God's potter's house, the great potter who fast. So you're talking genetics, you're talking genealogy. In fact, the Bible in Genesis chapter 5, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth. And they use the word toiba. And that word toiba, T-O-B-A-H-B-A, toiba in Hebrew. I'm just saying it how you would write it in English, right? That word toiba would mean the Jesus people who understood bloodlines, understood breeding, understood eugenics. I would tell the caller, please go online, type in blueletterbible.org. I think it's just type in blue letter Bible. Mm-hmm. It'll pop up and you can go online and click it to each translation of the Bible. Go to the Greek, go to the Hebrew, go to the Arabic, and you can see that each one is telling a different story, because each one is a different people telling their story. Africa, it's time, we indigenous people, it's time for us to add our story. And as one of the teachers, right? I come from a line of great that we all know, the Garveys and the Elijahs and the Kwame Nkrumahs. We are supposed to take all that these great minds, the Francis Cress Wilsons, the Marimba Annies, the Clonora Hudson Weems, the Shahrazad Alis, we're supposed to take that knowledge that they've all gave us, and in the era of information, compress it into our high speed internet, into our collective consciousness, and then bring forth, by, we don't have to go research everything. Take what they've given us as pieces to this puzzle, put the pieces together, and there we'll find the African solution to our spiritual needs, our religious needs, our economic, able to truly embrace the Most High, the Great I Am, from the African, as opposed to Zeus and Demeter, or as 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, Satan is the god of this world. That's so right. We got to be careful. We're not
worshiping. Just got to run to a break. Got to run to a break. We'll be right back here on Guardian AM. Please keep it locked here at 96.9 FM. Right back after this.
Show me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl, everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and while really high those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel want to take you and three others on a seven-day cruise to Panama, Colombia, Curacao, and Aruba on Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas. And here's the best part, no visa required. That's right, no visa required. You have four ways to enter, four ways to win. One, fill out the form in the Nassau Guardian. Two, listen to Star 106.5 and Guardian Radio 96.9. Three, follow us on Facebook for purchase at Going Places Travel. Entry deadline is June 27, 2025. So pack your bags, get ready to soak up the sun, and feel that ocean breeze. You and three loved ones sailing the high seas on a vacation cruise of a lifetime. Drawing is on July 4, 2025. Brought to you by the Nassau Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel. Certain conditions apply. Airfare, taxes, and gratuities not included.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. My name is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III. My special guest today, Rev. Dr. A.J. Varma, who is the head priest of the Holy Coptic Church of the Black International. We only got about maybe less than 10 minutes, so we got a couple of texts that I want to touch on quickly as we've been going through this reality of looking at scripture with African eyes. Dr. Varma, when it comes to Haile Selassie, we have a texter here who's concerned about how the King of Kings, I'm assuming he's a Rastafarian, but he's concerned about how the King of Kings is viewed in Scripture, or he wants to know, is this something that's ignored when we look at Scripture with African eyes, or how exactly is the King of Kings weigh into this whole discussion?
Well, the reality is, first of all, the great Emperor Haile Selassie, with all due respect, always to him, always give him respect.
That's right.
He's the king of kings of the people of Tukridi that he comes from. Mm-hmm. He was Ras, it means the head. Mm-hmm. Tafari, the head, Ras, Raish, mm-hmm. in Arabic, Rosh, Rosh Hashanah, of his people, mm-hmm. of that, and he comes out of the Coptic church. Mm-hmm. Now, we can look at him and we can say he represented for us those who are Rastafarians. He represented the personification of divine for us as an example of what we could become and achieve. 100%, we can do that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, then there's those who may do that with Elijah Muhammad of the Nation of Islam. Mm-hmm. The Garveyites would do that with Marcus Garvey of the UNIA. The Moors would do that with everyone has that. And again, because Africa is not a monolith, we always have to have an example of what we can become. Mm-hmm. So we don't take that example away. And we respect in the African theology and cosmology, these would be considered our Bibis, our Babas, our Popes. They would have the same stature for us that the Romans afford to those men who have been popes for them. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yes.
Now, I'm saying that in a way, so I want to be clear. So then when we move from the time of Haile Selassie to 2025 and our brothers and sisters of the Rastafarian community, we say, now how do we organize your belief system into a written form so it eliminates random interpretations? That should be the responsibility of those priests and priestesses of said religion or organization. Mm. We respect him as a pope, but if you're deifying him as the visible example to become, then we must be mindful that no one ever says, well, he doesn't have dreads. Well, he doesn't have this. How do you resolve that? That's not for me to resolve. Mm-hmm. That's for my brothers and sisters of the Rastafarian community to resolve. And it is for me to allow them the opportunity so that I don't misspeak mm-hmm. that which I may not ascribe to at this juncture in my life and interfere with its development and prevent it corrects my life and brings me into that way mm-hmm. of thinking or vice versa. I pray what I'm saying makes sense.
Yes, yes, powerful.
You follow?
Yes, we have another text here regarding the New Testament. I mean, when we're looking at scripture with African eyes, there's this Old and New Testament. How are we to look at Old and New Testament with African eyes?
Well, the first thing is to say when they give us the New Testament today in English, they translated it from Vulgate. So that's Roman Testament. Giving you books like Thessalonians, that's a Greek island, Ephesians, a Greek island, Galatians, a Greek island, Corinthians, a Greek island, Colossians, a Greek island, Romans, the Romans. So we got to be careful. Mm. We Africans had original testaments, which were the actual records of the Tanakh, the Torah. Christ in Matthew 5:17 said, I didn't come to destroy the law. So we got to get back to the original. But to do that, we just got to learn the language. It's not hard. Mm-hmm. You have the technology. The technology, it can translate for you. Mm-hmm. We have to do the scholarship, or at least support those of us that are doing the scholarship, actually translating it from the language with the African eyes means African culture in mind, and not just African culture alone, but knowing the history of the Olympians of Greece, the history of the Pantheon of Rome, the history of the Norse mythology. You have to know everybody's history before you take the quest of translating a Bible so that you will see their fingerprints and identify them when necessary. This is a very important mission that we've undertaken, and we need all the help we can get and the support in that mission so that the Africans can have an African perspective influence. So we have the ancient African version of the Bible called the original books of the Bible. It's available,
yes.
Right? Other than that, we don't know what we're getting. Old Testament Greek interpretation, because you told me it's from the Old Testament called the Septuagint. And that Septuagint or Septuagint is Greek, is Hellenized. It talks about Orion, Oranos. It talks about Gaia in Genesis 1, 1 and 2. It talks about Base. It talks about the Abyss. This is Greek. That's mm-hmm. Hellenization. That's from a writer called Hesiod, H-E-S-I-O-D. And he wrote what was called the Greek Genesis. Hesiod's writings. He wrote the Greek Genesis. So the Greeks had their own Genesis or creation story that is totally opposite to the indigenous doctrines of the indigenous peoples of the planet Earth who were melanated or African people. Yes, we got to be careful, because if not, they're going to have us worshiping Satan. And he's the one who took, if Satan is the god of the world, again, 2 Corinthians 4:4 and 2 Corinthians 11:4, with a new spirit, a new Jesus, and a new doctrine, who took that new spirit, that new Jesus, and that new doctrine? Who took Satan as a god all around the world? What group of people went all around the world and forced everybody to embrace their interpretation and explanation and gave us their god? And why is it important? Because it has kids killing kids, because they don't see the importance of black bodies. It has men raping women, women raping men, people fighting, prostitution, stripping, LGBT, and all this other stuff happening. Why? Because none of that existed before the Europeans left Europe and exported their debauchery and their lawlessness and their violation of the original commandments. We didn't have syphilis. We didn't have gonorrhea. So somebody exported Satan's doctrine around the world, and we need to figure that out quickly. Because if not, we better be mindful of who we're worshiping.
Wow. I wish we had more time. I'm going to try to squeeze one more question out of you. I was having a conversation with an elder priest from another denomination, and we were talking about culture based on Revelation chapter 12, talking about these tribes and these nations. At least this is what I brought up to him. And his whole thing was, well, you know, we're focusing on the wrong thing. You know, we got to just focus on heaven, and we got to focus on Jesus. How important is culture to looking at scripture with African eyes?
Well, when the people say, I love that saying, we're focusing on the wrong thing. No, we're focusing on the relevant thing for this generation. You know, and it says in the latter day in the book of Joel, the old shall dream dreams and the young shall see visions. So sometimes we got a visionaries who may be a little younger than most or older than others, right? We may see the vision that each generation, it requires people who can deliver God's message, the true God, the great I am. That's why it says the true God, right? The great I am, to deliver the message of the great I am. And culture is relevant. If it wasn't, then why did they all go to Egypt? I would understand if one group went to Egypt, and then Moses, and then Jesus went to Spain, and then it would say, yeah, it doesn't matter. But everyone, all these biblical figures were going to Cushite Babylon, Daniel and them, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, or, which is Nimrod's people according to Genesis 10, right? Or Egypt. Why these two places? Oh, yeah, and Solomon marries Queen of Sheba, they say Ethiopia. Okay, so why is everybody hanging around in African culture if Africa's not important? Why? There's no Chinese culture. Show me. And Jesus went down to China. Ni hao, Kai Lin, right? Something like that. Then I'll work with you. Show me where Moses went down to or went up to. Why would none of these people from the Tigris-Euphrates Valley, from the Fertile Crescent, from Palestine, Israel, why none of them went to Europe or to Asia, or to South America, or to North America? Everybody's focusing on African culture. That's why African culture is important, because all of the patriarchs of the Bible, when they needed information, they needed guidance, they needed wealth, they needed to have a face-to-face with God, I'm going down to the Nile River. And where's Europe going today? Why is Europe all up in Africa? Why is China all up in Africa? Why are they all up in the Caribbean? Africa, because Africa that only has knowledge and wisdom and understanding, but Africa has technology, and Africa has food, and Africa has water. Africa has mango. Caribbean has mango and plants and guava and pineapple and plums, and Europe don't have these things. You are the breadbasket. You feed the planet, not just food, but mind food, spirit food, emotional food. Africa is the only place. Caribbean is the only place. Indigenous culture of North and South America, America, Indus River Valley. They all go there, so we better wise up, because we don't realize what we have. Let's not prove their manifest destiny that we didn't realize what we have. Let's not prove that still is a notion. Start recognizing what you have as indigenous people of the planet, and start glorifying it and treating it with the importance it deserves. And if you can't see that, then I don't know if there's true spirituality happening, and perhaps that individual might be getting this taught. I'm not talking about the call, I'm talking in general. If you're properly taught and you're really saying you're worshiping the great I am, the Most High God, then the Most High does not ask you to deny who you are, because the Queen of England and her family, they never denied who they were. And the Queens of Spain and Portugal, they don't deny who they are. And the great President Donald Trump, wink, does not deny who he is. Everybody, when it comes to Europe, they're allowed, when it comes to law, to never deny who they are. But when it comes to African people, indigenous, Caribbean, black people, black Americans, Nubian, Melanonites, why are we always asked to deny who we are just to embrace a faith? They are Greek Americans, Russian Americans, German Americans, everybody. he identifies, we need to identify too. Because if it works for them, it'll work for us.
Amen and amen. Our special guest today, Rev. Dr. A.J. Varman, head of the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah, Journey Home Group International. I want to say thank you, my brother. And where can we find the original books of the Bible and this great information?
So you can talking. Go to journeyhomegroup.com. Journey, just like it sounds, journeyhomegroup.com. Click on the store. And if you go in there, you're going to type in original books of the Bible.
We thank you so very much. We got to run to the news break, and then Howard Grant is
thank
up right
you,
after
Colin, Uncle Sarah.
Thank you so much, Dr. Varma, and thank you all for listening. Thank you for the callers and the texters, and keep it locked here at 96.9 FM Guardian Radio. Namaste.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.